really enjoy volunteering because it allows me to use the spiritual gifts that I believe that God has blessed me with. I've had a couple different opportunities here at the church. I served in Sunlight and First Time Check-In many years ago, and then now getting to serve on the Benevolence Committee as well. I think it's really helped me to understand how God's designed me.
I started going to Sunlight or Club 456 in seventh grade here at WCC, and I was just very deeply impacted by the people that volunteered for Club 456 then. And even through high school and student ministries, that I think really shaped my life. And so therefore, I really feel like I should be paying that forward and being a volunteer in student ministries to help be that partner with parents and another good adult that's investing in our community's kids.
Volunteering has impacted me by, it's just been a great way to be involved in the church, meet others. I think I tell people that I've met more people at WCC through volunteering than any other aspect.
The moment I felt the pull to volunteer was when I just really started to become stronger in my faith. And I realized that there was something that I needed to be doing greater than myself.
When we first started going to WCC, like, it's such a big church that you just kind of feel like you can hide and, you know, maybe not get involved. But I think once I felt like it was more of my home church, I really wanted to get involved. And so when that happened, it was like, oh, well, this is natural.
I would have told my past self to don't wait, look for the opportunities that fit the spiritual gifts that you have. You have this feeling that you're getting to do something instead of having to do something. So I honestly wish that this is something that I would have done years earlier.
If this is what he's calling us to do, to help people, then that's what we should do. And so stepping in where we can help and where we feel gifted and where we feel led to has been huge. And we don't do it perfectly and we don't do it, you know, flawlessly, but we have Jesus. And so doing it the best we can and getting to kind of share that with them and share what wisdom we do have has been just a fantastic blessing to have in our lives.
The Volunteer Expo is going on outside the doors of the auditorium, and if you are feeling any sort of tug or push or pull from God and His Spirit, just follow it. Just have a conversation, engage with the groups that are out in the lobby, and just ask a question. Just get the conversation started. Ask them to learn more about what they do, how they serve, and how they're living into how God has called them to serve in the church as well.
Good morning. And happy, there we go. Now I can see your beautiful smiling faces. Well, happy Father's Day. And it's like Nate said, it's kind of a all over the map kind of a day, you know, depending on your relationship with your father, your status as a father, all of those things. But one of the things that becoming a father taught me probably more than anything else is how God views me. And it has had a profound impact on how I view God's grace, His love, and His long suffering with me. But anyway, happy Father's Day to all of you. It's interesting when we think about church today and we think about the different ways that we can experience church. We can now watch church. We can watch it every week. We can watch it throughout the week. We can watch it online. We can watch it on our phones. We can listen to it on our car radios. And that's a thing. And for those of you who can't actually be here in person, we're grateful that you can join us. And there's a lot of times when we can't be. We also go to church. We attend church. And we go to this place that has an address and a building and all of that. And you've heard me talk about that over the years, that going to church is a thing too. And it's a good thing. But it's not the best thing. Because what we're called to do is not to watch church, not to attend church. We're actually called to be the church, ecclesia. And way back, there was a very poor translation in the Bible about church, and it translated it as a place. And that's kind of how we view it. It's like, where do you go to church? Well, I go to WCC over there on Ranch Road, or I go to First Christian over there on Ranch Road, or I go to this church or go to that place. But the fact of the matter is, wherever you are the church there. And that's what I want to talk about today. You know, as we get older, at least as I get older, I have a growing list of things that I wish I knew then what I know now. Any of you relate to that? man, would life have been, I don't know if it had been easier or not. Maybe naivety is a good thing. But I wish I knew then what I know now. And I do have one regret about this church. We created a ministry to open the doors to all people, to invite everyone in. Many people who had been pushed away from God, pushed away from church, who had given up on all things God because of maybe abusive religion, maybe a bad experience, maybe disappointment with God, like I talked about a few weeks ago, unanswered prayers, setbacks, heartache. And we tried to create a place, a safe place, for people to come and explore and just relax. And I used to make this statement, and I kind of regret it, so bear with me. You can come as long as you want, be as anonymous as you want forever. Some of you are 20 years into that, and that's not necessarily good. And I kind of regret the fact, not that we created a place of grace, a place where we could remove all the barriers that we could to help people see Jesus very clearly, but my regret is maybe we stopped there. Maybe we made it too easy. Maybe we didn't call you to a life of purpose and meaning, a life of being the church, not just going to church, not just attending church. And that's what I want to talk about today. Kerry Newhoff, who is a podcaster, he's all things church, and he broke churches down over 20-year periods over the last century, and I don't remember what all of them were, but in each 20-year period, two-decade period, there were the churches that thrived did certain things, and I think we were part of this thing that ended up being called the Seeker Movement. And that's where people who had been pushed away from church or kicked out of church or had bad experiences with church were welcomed back to church to find Jesus without all the religious trappings. And that was good. And I don't regret that. But I think what has happened is then we have a lot of people who have been left hanging with, well, what's my purpose or what's my why? Why do I exist? How is it that I'm supposed to serve God and make a difference for the kingdom? And I don't think we helped enough of you take that next step. And when I look around at the landscape of our culture today and you see all the stress and the anxiety and the depression and the mental health issues and the violence and all that, I think often it boils down to one thing. We have a whole, I don't know, society of people that don't know what their purpose is. And if you don't have purpose, and I'm reading more about this because I'm now 15 years into getting AARP magazine every month, and they talk about one of the most important things you can do as you age is have purpose, have meaningful things in your life. And so what I want to talk about today is going to pump some of you up, it's going to challenge some of you, and some of you it's going to make you feel guilty, and others of you, you're probably going to walk out of here unchanged, but I'm praying that that doesn't happen. You know, I want to talk about what it means to be the church, and we've titled this series for the next 3 weeks, Stepping Out. What does it mean to step out in faith and live out your purpose for God, and how do we discover that? And you've probably heard 100 sermons on this, but I want this to be maybe the most practical one you've ever heard. Tim Keller says, the Holy Spirit gives each Christian a particular set of spiritual gifts or a gift matrix, which can be used in a range of ministries that serve others in the Christian community and beyond. So my goal today is to give you a clear biblical approach to what this might look like in your life, and I want to talk about four things, and I want to begin with this one. What are spiritual gifts? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 7, Paul lays it out there for the early church, and he was writing to this church in Corinth, but it is for us as well, his church today, where he says there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each. That's a very inclusive statement. A spiritual gift is given to each of us, talking to Christians here, Christ followers, so we can help each other. You see, to every Christian, A gift is given to build up the body of Christ to go out and build the kingdom in the world. And then in another place, Ephesians chapter 4, Paul kind of breaks these gifts down and he says, however, he has given, here it is again, each one of us. And I think one of the tragedies is I've seen over the years is I've seen too many believers who say, well, I don't know what my gift is and I don't really think I have a spiritual gift. That's just not even biblical. That's not true. He says he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. That is why the scriptures say, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. Notice that it says he ascended. This clearly means that Christ also descended to our lowly world. And the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all of the heavens so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. Now, these gifts Christ gave to the church, ecclesia, us, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the body, the body of Christ. You see, there are no consumers. And what does this look like? Well, it looks like self-discovery. Most of us, or many of us, don't know what our real gifts are because we've never done a lot of serving around the church. And I'm going to talk about this a little bit today. I think many of us are, we're sitting back. I think I've got this gift and I'm going to wait until the right opportunity to use it comes around. That's not the way it works. That has not been my experience. That has not been my observation. You will discover your gifts when you first begin to serve in the body of Christ. You got to experiment. You got to explore. You got to be willing to serve. And I'm going to talk about this in a couple of minutes. That also makes us, as we become servants at heart, more humble when we do discover our gifts. A second thing that I think this means is biblical community. Serving drives you out of yourself because you know it's not about you. One of the pains and frustrations I've had over the years as a pastor is when people will tell me or they leave the church and I hear later on, it's like, well, you know, we weren't being fed. I mean, okay, I guess that's legitimate. But as you mature in Christ, you're supposed to be able to feed yourself. Well, I'm not being fed and I don't really know anybody and I don't feel like I fit in. Maybe part of it is because you haven't dived into serving. One of the best ways to meet people, one of the best ways to experience biblical community is to be the church with others who are the church. I have met very few people over the years, very few believers who are actively serving, living out their spiritual gifts, living out their kingdom purpose, who don't feel connected, don't feel involved, who are saying, I'm not being fed, because you're feeding yourself and you're open to the feeding that is given to you. Well, I'm just not really being fed. I don't know anybody. It's not about us. It's about Christ. And maybe we've made that a little bit confusing, a little bit too easy. You know, I remember when we first came to town, I was called to pastor a church here in town, and when we got there, there were about 120 really old people, like my age. In our nursery, I kid you not, it was the size of a very small bedroom. And I think there were three kids about my oldest son Jake's age, and he was two at the time. And I could have gone in there and said, well, there's nobody like me. I feel lonely. I don't know where I fit. I mean, I'm not being fed. Or I could have done something about it. And I think we're called when we're discontent, and we're going to get to that in a minute, but when we feel frustrated with something, when we feel discontent with something, when we feel something is lacking, aren't we called to use our gifts to actually do something about it? And each one of us are called to do that. Each one of us are gifted by the Holy Spirit to actually carry that out. What is your purpose? And then there's the blessing of being a blessing. God said to Abraham, you will lead my people and you will be blessed to be a blessing. You see, serving, using our gifts is the most pure act of worship there is. The way you live out your life, it is a lifestyle of worship. You don't just come on a Sunday morning and worship, although I love worship. Worship is wonderful. I'm kind of a worship junkie when it comes to worship. But sometimes I think our greatest worship comes in the form of acts of service, because we have been blessed just for ourselves. We've been blessed to be a blessing. You know, one of my concerns for my peers, now you know who you are if you're one of my peers, you get AARP magazine. One of the sad things for me, one of my concerns for my peers is too many of us at this age feel a couple of things that I don't think are God things at all. Well, I've served my time in the church. I can retire now from church stuff. Show me the verse that says that's okay. Or maybe some of you feel like, well, I'm just not needed. And I would suggest to you, not just because I'm of this demographic, the greatest untapped resource in the church in America would be people my age, because we have the most time, the most money, and the most life experience. And we had better steward that till the day we die. Well, I can't really do much. All I can do is pray. Did you just hear that? All I can do is pray. Really? Keep praying. That's all you can do, do it. Maybe I can send cards, but I think most of us can do a whole lot more than that. Why aren't we? Secondly, not only what are spiritual gifts, but how are spiritual gifts distributed? And they're basically, this is where I want to get real practical. There are three basic categories as I find it in Ephesians chapter 4. The first category would be prophetic gifts. Verse 11, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors. We tend to think as prophecy of predicting the future, but that's not what Paul's talking about. What Paul's referring to here is those who preach and teach. They help people believe. It's much less about predicting the future. It's more of an insight into present biblical truth. It's kind of like divine truth telling. It could be a Sunday school teacher. It could be a growth group leader. It could be a teacher. It could be a pastor. But it's somebody who has an ability to bring God's truth, God's word to life, to bring clarity to it. So there's prophetic gifts, and there's three categories that I'm going to talk about. Prophetic gifts, and then there are priestly gifts. Let's look at verse 11 again in chapter 4 of Ephesians. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. These are more like shepherding gifts. I think of our community care ministry. Many of you are in community care ministry. I think of our Stephen ministers. I think of people who have the gift of serving, who have the gift of compassion, the gift of mercy, more of a shepherding gift. Now, this might come as a surprise to some of you, unless you know me. I don't have that gift. You're thinking, well, you are a shepherd. You're a pastor. Well, I'm more of a prophet or a priest, I guess, if you look at it from a biblical standpoint. Let me explain to you what I mean. I've had the privilege over the last several years of being one of the teachers for Stephen Ministry. It is one of my favorite things to do because I am teaching a room full of people who are really, really nice. They are really, really merciful. They just love you. Doesn't matter what you do because they can't help themselves. I use my gift of teaching, or that prophetic gift, to bring alive some of the scriptural truths that help equip them as shepherds. Now, something that Mike did last week that I thought was really cool is he had people stand up based upon gifts they had, and I thought, man, what potential we have. And I'm going to, those of you with who are, I'd like to just do this for a second today. I mean, you're like, I thought this was a safe place. It is most of the time. I want, if you're a Stephen minister or if you are involved in community care, I would like you to stand up. I know you hate attention. Okay, now stay standing for a second. And I want you to look around at these people, and if you are in trouble or hurting or in need, don't call me. They'll be way better at taking care of you and loving you. Thank you guys so much for what you're doing. Thank you. Look at the potential sitting right here. Okay, I won't do that again to those of you with the mercy gift. Now, those of you with the prophetic gift and apostolic gift, when's it going to be our turn to stand up? That's what we like. You know, we kind of like being up there. All right, I am mumbling now. Okay, there's the apostolic gift. Now that's I want to be careful with this one, because when you think of apostles, you think of the apostles that Jesus was with. But there's an apostolic gift. We see it again in verse 11 of Ephesians 4. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Now the apostles are those with a gift they have the ability to envision what could be. These are the dreamers. These are the people that see stuff that most people don't see. And sometimes we can make people crazy. We're crazy makers, because we're always like, well, there's that, and there's that, and what about that, and hey, there's a bird. I mean, we like shiny things. We were probably all would have been diagnosed as ADD when we were in elementary school, but hey, that's how God wired us. It always drove me crazy when I first came to town with this community of 70 or 80,000 people in our county, and 50,000 of them don't even go to church, and I'm like, we got to do something about that, so let's do something grand. And I think we have, but we haven't even scratched the surface. Those with that gift, they can see things in people that maybe people can't see about themselves. So I've always kind of been driven. And I think gifts come in clusters. And I'm just sharing with you kind of my own personal experience and what I've come to realize even about myself, to maybe encourage you to begin to see this possibility existing in you. I think God has given me a spiritual gift of prophecy, of being able to kind of see things that, or be able to bring God's word to life, the apostolic gift to have a lot of dreams, but it's been driven by my evangelistic spirit. I can't stand to see people who don't know Christ not have a chance to see Christ and come to Christ, because I want to populate heaven as much as I possibly can. And that's what drives those other two gifts. And what is it for you? You know, but I spent way too much time early in ministry trying to become a good manager, like a good organizational person and all that. And anybody that has worked with me can tell you I am absolutely not that. I do not have those gifts of management, administration, organizational, strategic leadership. I'm not wired that way at all. That's why it's so good to surround yourself with people who are gifted in areas where you're not gifted. And I read a book, and I heard a guy speak, and then I got his book, a guy named Marcus Buckingham. He spoke at the Global Leadership Summit probably 20, 25 years ago, and he had just written this book called First Break All the Rules, and it was really about management and leadership. And one of the key principles in this book was this. He said, we spend far too much time going to get trained in areas where we're weak, where we have a deficit. And he said, that is absolutely backwards. He said, what we ought to be doing is going to seminars and going to conferences and reading books that have to do with our greatest strengths and become better at what we're already good at and learn to manage around the stuff we're not good at, or surround ourselves with people who are better at that than we are. I mean, you think about in 1 Corinthians 12:5, as Paul continues to talk about these spiritual gifts, he says there are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. I think of a football team. To be a great quarterback, you have to have a great line and great receivers. To be a great receiver, you have to have a great quarterback who's protected by a great line. On defense, you got to have people who can plug the middle. You got to have people who are fast, who can catch receivers. I mean, but they're all football players. They just have different roles. That's the way the church is. That's the way the body of Christ is. One body with many parts serving for a common purpose, which is to build God's kingdom on earth as it now exists in heaven. But I want to talk thirdly about some important distinctions regarding our spiritual gifts. I want to talk about gifts versus talents. We're all born with certain talents, aren't we? Certain physical abilities. You didn't do anything to earn them. You didn't do anything to get them. You've just always been good at certain things. That's different than a spiritual gift. A talent is different than a spiritual gift. Now, J.I. Packer, well-known Christian writer of many years ago, points out, sometimes a very mediocre talent or ability can somehow be adapted by God into a spiritual gift, while at other times a great talent in a Christian never seems to be used as a spiritual gift or ministry. As we exercise our spiritual gifts, we also need to avoid two great problems: gift cop-out and gift projection. Every single one of the gifts is also a task or assignment given to all Christians. Not all are evangelists, but everyone is a witness. Not all are deacons or deaconesses, but we're all called to serve. Gift cop-out is saying, since I'm not gifted at that, I don't have to do it at all. That's a cop-out. And then he says gift projection works in two opposite ways. Making yourself feel guilty that you aren't as gifted or good as someone else is, and making others feel guilty that they aren't as passionate or as good at what you do as they are. It's all too easy to try to make the whole church over into your image, making it strictly an evangelistic church or a justice church or a cultural center is an intense discipleship community. It's not the way to go about it. That last part I didn't read right, but anyway, you get the point. And then the difference between spiritual gifts versus the fruit of the Spirit. This is really, really important. And we're seeing one catastrophe after another in the church today regarding this. We see very spiritually gifted leaders who are not experiencing or displaying the fruit of the Spirit. Let me explain to you what I mean. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, Paul says, "But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things." When you have a gifted person who has weak character, it's a recipe for disaster. Abraham Kuyper said somewhere that hypocrisy is like a shadow. It can be deepest and sharpest, closest to the light. Therefore, the ministry polarizes people. It makes them far better or far worse Christians than they would have been otherwise. But it will not leave you where you are. There are enormous pressures in the ministry on your integrity and your character. And he goes on to say, even when we have effective results in ministry, we have to examine ourselves deeply. Is our prayer life dead? Do we struggle with feeling slighted? Are our feelings always being hurt? Is there anxiety and joylessness in our work? Do we find ourselves being highly critical of the other churches or ministries or coworkers? Do we feel a lot of self-pity? If so, our ministry may be skillful and successful, but it is hollow, and we are probably either headed for a breakdown or doomed to produce crowds and funds, but only superficial long-term effects. And then lastly, how do we discover our spiritual gifts? And I want to make this as simple and as clear and as easy as I possibly can. My observation and my experience over 40-some years of doing this is you discover your spiritual gifts in usually one or more of these three ways. First of all, your abilities. What are you good at? What have people told you you're good at? That's, I think, where you begin to take a step out into that area. Explore it. Don't let the enemy say, "Oh, I could never do that. I'm not gifted in that. That's too scary." What are you good at? Maybe God wants to use that. Maybe that's God placing in you a desire to do something. So, your abilities. Then secondly, opportunities. What opportunities are open to you right now? And there's a whole bunch of them. We've got this little volunteer expo today, and some of you are going, I'm too old for that, or I'm too busy for that, whatever your excuses are, they're just excuses. What has God called you? What are the opportunities that exist before you? And I think the way you discover your gifts is you just try stuff. I mean, this is so very, very important because I think it can, you know, I mean, I look at over the years when they were, as a pastor, you know, I had to do a lot of stuff, but I taught VBS before, I've done puppet ministry, which is like so excruciating. I mean, but you do certain things. I actually was a fifth and sixth grade camp director, and I was in a choir. I mean, just that sounds funny, doesn't it? But we needed some male singers at the church I used to be in. I thought I'd sing in the choir. I can sing a little bit. When we started out at Harrison, I took janitorial training, and I learned how to use Vomitus. That's that nasty stuff they put on throw up in school when kids... But I learned to do that. You do those things because they're opportunities. And I think what that does is it gives you the opportunity to actually discover what you're passionate and good about. And this is the last one I want to say. This is really, I think, where it happens a lot. Discontent What is your holy discontent? What is the one thing you just can't stand and you want to see something done about it? Step out into that space and do something about it, because God never leads you, never calls you to do anything that he doesn't gift you and equip you to do. So I want to point out to you this list right here that you probably got when you came in. Hopefully you did. It's the areas where we have ministry opportunities. And this may be the first step for some of you, maybe the second step. Maybe some of you are feeling really guilty right now. I'd like to think that's sanctified guilt you're feeling right now. Conviction of the Holy Spirit to serve. You are the body of Christ. We are the church. Each one of us is gifted. So we wanted to give you 5 extra minutes this morning. Sunlight knows you're going to be a little bit late picking your kids up, but we would like you to at least just check out what is available. Nobody's going to grab you. Nobody's going to make you sign your name in blood. Here I go again, making it too easy on you. We won't make you sign your name in blood, though. But I want to just encourage you to do this. And let me just leave you with this question. What is your why? What is your why? Why are you on this planet? It's to make a lot of money quickly so you can retire and do whatever you want for the rest of your life. That sounds fun, right? No, that's not your why. It's to become famous, popular, to have a lot of followers on Instagram. What is your why? And what lifetime are you waiting for to discover it? I want to encourage you today. Just really get serious and consider what it means for you to be the church. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, you have called us, each one of us, you have gifted us to ministry. If we're a Christ follower, we are called to ministry, and you've made that abundantly clear to us. May we all, through the power of your Spirit, maybe by stepping into an opportunity, may we discover our why, our purpose, how you want us to build your kingdom, no matter how young or how old we may be. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would touch our hearts, stir our minds, in Jesus' name and for his honor and glory. Amen. Thanks for coming. Have a great rest of the day.